Welcome to Freelance Gems, a podcast designed to help you build a more stress-free, service-based business. On this show, I'll be sharing what I've learned as a web designer and founder of my own brand, Opal Templates, as well as interviewing and learning from the best in the industry. So if you're ready to upgrade from regular freelancing to building a brand on your terms, this is the show for you. Before we start this week's episode, I want to let you know that I am giving away one free mini website audit each week to whoever leaves a review on the Freelance Gems podcast on the Apple Podcast platform. I'm doing this because I know reviews are really easy to forget about, but they are absolutely huge, especially on Apple Podcasts, for helping the show grow and in turn helping more freelancers build stress-free service-based brands. So if you're interested and you want to help out the show while getting some feedback on your website, just leave a review on the show on Apple Podcasts, and I'll link to where you can do that below in the show notes. And if your review is chosen, it'll get featured either on the episode that week if we're in the middle of an active season, or just on Instagram, and then you'll just need to DM me to let me know that it was your review. Then you'll send over your URL, and you'll receive your mini website audit packed with tips for your site accessibility, website strategy, and design choices in a 90-second reel, so you also get some cross-promotion for your brand on Opal Templates Instagram too. So if you're interested, please head over there and leave a review. It is super, super appreciated. But without further ado, let's get into the episode. Cool. All right. Well, thank you both so much for being here today. I'm so excited to talk to two podcast hosts. That's always a rare moment. And I just think that podcasting is so fun and such a special long form content type that it's going to be really fun to kind of unpack this with you guys today. But to get started, I'd love to hear more about what each of you do and who you are so we can just introduce you guys to my audience.
Do you want to go first, Maggie?
Sure. So hi, everybody. I'm Megs of Megsy May Co. and co-host of the At Wit's End podcast. So I've been a full-time freelancer for just about 3 years now, and I've actually freelanced part-time since I was in the 12th grade. I was just finishing up high school, so it's been basically a decade now. And to a lot of people's surprise, I did nothing in the creative fields in school. I'm technically a botanist, and so I studied plants, and I specialized in parasitic plants, and I hold my master's in it. And so when I made the switch to full-time freelancing, then I say it's a bonus. You know, I have this extensive academic career that will make your branding look so much better. So that's me.
Oh my gosh, parasitic plants. How did you land on that?
It's a great question. I think when I started in university, I wanted to get into a lab. I love the sciences. I love plants. I like gardening a lot. And it just happened. The university I went to was really small because we're also in Canada too. You're in the US, right? Yeah. So we call it universities, not colleges. And there was a prof there who I really liked, and I got into his lab, and then I realized I love this, and I love working with microscopes and dissecting things and just being in that science lab world. And so that's the slow but steady way of getting into that. Yeah.
That's so cool. I'd love to see that, like a parasitic plant store need branding or something. Yeah. One day.
And you're like, you don't want them. You do. All the countries in the world are like, screw you guys. We're on all the noxious lists. And if you find something on a shipment, then yeah, they're, but like a parasitic plant, like Morning Glories, it's in the Morning Glory family, the group that I worked in. So they're really pretty flowers. Sometimes people put them in their gardens and then, you know, they get choked out and weeded out. And they're like, what happened here? Well,
dang.
Introduced an aggressive plant. So
that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh. We could have a whole episode just on parasitic plants.
Yeah,
now.
We could. Yeah. Yeah. Don't get me started.
Yeah. Yeah. This episode gets completely derailed. Now we're just talking about parasitic plants.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, Kimberly, so sorry to interrupt you, but I would love to hear who you are and what you do.
Yeah, no. So I'm Kim. I mean, besides being Maggie's co-host on the At Wit's End podcast, I've been a full-time freelancer, kind of like writer, graphic designer, social media manager for the last 5 years. So I mostly work with lifestyle brands and nonprofits just to basically make their whole digital marketing presence better and just like create more of more visibility for them online. So I'm all over the map in terms of the projects I take on, because sometimes it's just written and sometimes it's the graphics and then sometimes it's like the actual implementation of things. But I kind of got into the freelancing space when I was traveling. I was backpacking in 2017 and was just looking for a way to work while I wasn't in Canada. And writing was a way, like I did communications and English in university and was trying to get into the marketing space when I got home from traveling. So it seemed like a good way to pick it up. And it kind of just like accidentally snowballed into an actual career. And I ended up just staying full time freelance when I came back home and have been doing it ever since.
And I've never looked back.
Yeah. I have looked back sometimes and thought maybe there's an easier way, but
No, but I'm so glad both of you have experienced freelancing for as long as you do, because we can all kind of bond over that struggle and the amazingness of it too.
Yeah.
But you know, when you say you looked back sometimes, it's like, yeah, I feel
that. Yeah.
It's its own thing. Yeah.
It's definitely juggling a lot of things, I think. And sometimes you're like, I could just not have to be responsible for some of this stuff. But ultimately, I stay. And I think the benefits definitely outweigh.
Yeah, absolutely. But moving more towards the podcast topic, I'd love to know how you guys started your podcast together. What made you decide you wanted to do something like that?
I think I can pinpoint the exact moment when I was like, oh, we should totally do this. So Kim and I were traveling in Europe for a couple weeks, a few summers ago, and we were in Verona, Italy. We had spent this beautiful afternoon along the river, and we were just Googling the randomest shit just ever. We were just laughing and asking questions and then being like, we should fit, what is this? And it kind of snowballed, and we were just laughing, and we were having these side stories. And when we were away, you know, we've been friends for so long, and it just, I think that was the first time it came up as a question where, hey, this is a natural progression for us, maybe, that we wanted a creative outlet together, because this started in the pandemic, and we wanted it to be, you know, this, we talk like this anyway, so why not record and bring more people into this? We get told a lot that we're fun to be with, which I don't know if I believe. I think we're fun. When people tell us, I'm like, what do you want? So that was for me.
Yeah.
I think that was, it was something creative. It was something fun. And we had a good vibe with each other for a long time.
Yeah, like I think we had talked about it for years. Like I think even when we were in university together, it was like this kind of passive idea of like, oh, we should start a podcast. And we toyed with it a couple times. And we even recorded an episode that like never saw the light of day. And we were like, okay, well, we need to actually think about this a bit more and revisit it. And then the pandemic hit and we hit a point in like, I guess, a year into the pandemic where like Canada was in lockdowns for like a really long time.
Forever.
We really didn't have much of an option in terms of like things to do. And both of us were like, I really wish, especially freelancing, because like for me, I was like, I'm working all the time because I have nothing else to do. I can't go see my friends. I can't really do anything. So I'm working late. And we were like, I really wish we had something to do that was kind of like going to, you know, like going to a workout class or like, you know, having something that we were committed to that wasn't work related, that was just like for fun. And that I think was what like rebirthed this whole podcast idea of like, okay, well, this is something we can say like every Tuesday night, we're going to like write these episodes and come in, and it's this creative outlet without the pressure of it being for work. And that was kind of what I think actually spurred us like into action and doing it in like a more serious sense, I guess.
I was also very pregnant during the beginning processes of getting this podcast up and running, to the point where we realized after we had recorded a few episodes that we had to record quite a few more kind of ahead of time. We release our podcast once every 2 weeks, and we had to figure in how the birth of my son would work into all of that. And yeah, I also couldn't go anywhere. It was COVID and I was pregnant. And so that really limited what I was doing and where I was going, which is hilarious that we're like, yeah, you're pregnant. That's fine. You're going to have a baby. No, let's add this commitment.
And, yeah. Like, yeah. Let's start a podcast and like, yeah, mass pre-record like 2 months of episodes so that you could have a maternity leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that's smart. I feel like everyone should do that because I did not. And once I started doing weekly and it kind of just felt like, oh my God, like every week another one of these comes out. And like you start like being shocked by your own frequency and like, why did I choose this? And like trying to like, panic and put stuff together. So that's very smart.
Totally. Even if
you guys did it because of the extenuating circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we did the same thing too, where we started weekly. And I think we were weekly for the first, I want to say almost 2 months, maybe. Like
just
the first.
To get interest going. That's why we did it that way.
Yeah. Right? And then I think when we came down to like, okay, these pre-recorded episodes are running out. Like, what's our game plan? We kind of made the executive decision that every two weeks was a lot more manageable on our end. Like 2 a month gives us the flexibility, especially with kind of like schedules that are all over the place. Sometimes it gave us the like option of like, okay, when are you free? And also I'm free at the same time to like record these without it being a stress, I guess. Like, I feel like we've always put a priority on like, we're doing this because it's fun and not because we want it to be something that like is stressful for us.
Yeah absolutely. I can see that. It's so hard. You kind of create this like unnecessary pressure too, especially as freelancers, I feel like, because we also have to make content for a business. So I can see it get really messy trying to like separate that and be like, all right, it's okay if it's not like every single week this is coming out, because it's literally just for
one
fun.
More thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think sometimes if you think about it as like, this is also a benefit, especially as a freelancer. I feel like everything that we put online ends up being like part of this portfolio. And so like, I do try and like consider the podcast when I do feel like, oh my God, I don't have time for this. It's like, you don't know who's going to listen and tune in. I've definitely had like, you know, client consultation calls and then notice the geographic area they're from pop up as like having listened to a couple episodes. So I think it does like have benefit in this space as well, even if we are just talking about our lives and stuff. Like, it does give people insight into who we are as a person, and that personal side is such a huge part of why people work with freelancers that it is a benefit.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point from like a trust issue point of view too. I find that when somebody listens to your podcast, they feel like they know you better than if you had just met them at a party or something, or you're an acquaintance. And I find the same thing that we, especially with guests, when we bring on guests, it's you bring a guest plus their friends and family, and you never know who's in that. If do they need your services, maybe, and you've made them laugh because you're being ridiculous on your own show, and therefore they feel like they know you and you're so funny. Or I hope that's what's happening.
Yeah, I just think that that personal side is so huge to freelancing that it certainly can't hurt. I mean, if people, you know, listen and don't want to work with you, then they're probably not the clients you want to be working with anyways. So
yeah, that's honestly like a great filtering method. I never thought of it, but I really like that. You know, because you're right, it's like so interpersonal when you're working with someone, even if it's just for like this set amount of time, this project, this deliverables. Really though, like, you have to like each other, and that just makes the whole thing go so much smoother.
Did you like me on the podcast? Good. Let's work together.
Yeah. I love that. It's, like, the perfect nonchalant marketing. Like, not on purpose, but
I'm just here.
Yeah. But, well, I want to know, since you guys have been podcasting for 3 seasons now, since 2021, what lessons have you learned in that time about podcasting?
Okay, for me, I just applaud anybody who can speak on live TV, or anybody who can give an interview without saying something incredibly inappropriate or off topic. I think that is something that I really applaud, that you don't realize until I do the editing for our show. And so I listened to our podcast three times. The first time when we record it, the second time when I'm editing it, and then the third time to make sure that I didn't fall asleep while I was editing and leave out something, because we get silly sometimes, or we'll make comments, or we'll drop a name that most certainly should not be public. And so that's my first one, is just saying like, wow, to anybody who speaks like that. And also for being able to, how difficult it is not to say, like, you know, that whole ability to speak beautifully in a slow, precise way. And then the other thing, for me at least, is to be very super, super-duper careful that you save everything and you never delete an unedited episode because you're just not paying attention. So that is, you have to be so careful about how you plan and edit, and that you have a really good system for, okay, you record this episode, what happens here, what happens there, and just to be prepared. So I think that's for me, that's been a huge one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think like very similarly for me, like the biggest thing that I feel we've really like refined over time is just like striking that balance between prepping and leaving open-ended like space for those open-ended conversations. Like we, in especially because our podcast is so conversational, like we tend to go off on like a lot of tangents that are generally totally off script, but like preparing and like listening back to those tangents tend to be like my favorite parts of the episodes, and a lot of the time it's what people like end up like commenting or like sending us messages being like, oh, I totally agree, or this was really funny, or something like that. And finding that balance between like, okay, we're going to have this framework so the episode flows and we don't, you know, completely go off for like 30 minutes. It adds that structure, but like also making sure that we're giving that space for like spontaneity, is like a balance that I feel took us not too long to get into a rhythm for, but like I know at the very beginning I was like, oh, I really need to follow this script, and like was much more like rigid with it. And now I feel like we've got this good rhythm of just kind of flowing just through, like, it,
trusting ourselves too, especially when we have guests or if we're doing a very particular episode, because usually one or the other will write the episode. So the person who hasn't written the episode, you have to kind of give them a structure that works with them. And it's a lot of like flowing, of letting someone finish, but still inputting in a way that it's engaging for someone who's listening. And so I think that room for fun while still having a really good base in there keeps it cleaner and keeps it tidier, which is something I like in editing, at least.
Yeah, it's that, like, especially because with conversational podcasts, it's so, especially with us, like, we know each other so well that I think it would be very easy to slip into like a rhythm that like other people can't follow. Yeah. So like finding the, striking that like line between like we're being personal enough and like ourselves enough that you feel like you're getting to know us, but also keeping it in a structure that like if this is your first time tuning in, you're not like, I have no idea what's happening, because this feels like a big inside joke. And so it's like we want to be able to bring people inside with us, not make them feel like they're not part of the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't even considered that, but yeah, if you're having a conversational podcast, especially if someone you know and you're friends with, it could be real easy to just start dishing out inside jokes and have no one know what's going on. So that's really cool. It sounds like you guys put a lot of thought into your process both before and after, and I'm kind of curious what your guys' like routine is, if you don't mind sharing, like before each episode, during and after, because it sounds like you've really got the process down.
We have worked at it, and yeah, it's
yeah, like I think in terms of like prep work, we always kind of start with this general framework of like what the flow of questions is going to be before each episode. So like Maggie said, one of us usually will write it, and it'll be, you know, all of the questions that we want to ask or like topics that we want to address will build into this conversation, and we'll, you know, assign the other person like, you're going to ask this, I'm going to ask this. And then we'll leave these blank spaces of like, you know, insert Maggie responds and then whatever. And then we're, you know, we'll type out like then how we're transitioning into the kind of the next question. And then we'll send those to each other. So we both have kind of that like rough framework. And then yeah, from there, each of us independently can kind of like fill in notes on like things we want to make sure we say, or like, you know, fill out more of a script for ourselves, but the other person doesn't see that. So we still have that kind of like improvisational aspect of like we're getting each other's real reactions because we don't know what the other person's going to respond, but we do know who's going to ask the next question. And that kind of helps keep us on track so that when we do derail completely on a tangent, you know which one of us is going to bring it back around and like keep us back on track again.
Yeah. And so we do our recording with a site called Clean Feed. We usually just do audio only, and we love Clean Feed because once we decide on our time, usually there's like a half an hour, like, I'll be there in 15 minutes just doing this quick. And so that's always open-ended. We hop on. Kim and I live actually an hour and a half away from each other. And I think we've only recorded one podcast together in the same room. And so most of it's been remote, which has been, it's really like a way to sit down. It's like alone time, but not alone time, which is nice from just like a, like actually recording them. And then once we have that episode, then I'll download it, not delete it. And I insert it into Audacity, which is a free, I guess, interface or editing tool. And I love Audacity because it is constantly being updated. There's a huge community of people that are using it and editing it. And sometimes I'll mess something up royally, but I found so far 10 out of 10 times I've been able to go on there and ask the most obscure particular question. And someone's like, oh, I did this too. This is how you fix it. And so that's really nice. And then once that's done, the editing, then I'll usually reach out to Kim and we'll do a little blurb so that we can put it onto our distributing platform. And we use Anchor, which is through Spotify. And what, for anybody who's unfamiliar, distributing flat platform, basically you upload your episode once and then it handles sending it to, as you hear on every podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, then it takes care of that. Because otherwise you're getting into RSS and things I don't ever really want to learn about. And then basically from there, Kim takes it away on socials and we do some posting. We get the word out a little bit and we have our core listeners who will message us like the day of, which is always really nice to have that immediate feedback. Mm-hmm. And then over the next couple of weeks, it's interesting to see the stats of who's listening when and who's catching up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I find with the social piece, like, generally I try to make a post the morning of an episode going out. So, like, on a Friday, every other Friday morning, I'll make a post. And then I try to post at least once or twice more in between those posting dates, just to remind people that the episode is out. And I find, like, I created a bunch of templates a while ago that have definitely helped to, like, be able to kind of, like, drag and drop and create a more branded feed for ourselves. And like, especially today, like building a presence on Instagram is really difficult, especially if you don't have a ton of video content, which like we haven't really dove into the video side of recording yet. So creating those reels and things like that hasn't really been a huge thing on our radar, but I still find making those couple posts, you see the difference in the listens, even if it's just a few people, it usually reminds people. Yeah, so like I definitely think it does make an impact, even if you don't feel like many people are seeing it. You know, you never know when the right person's gonna see it. So we try and still maintain that social presence.
Yeah, I'm always surprised when someone like emails me or like responds to my newsletter or something about it, and they're like, oh my gosh, I love this episode. I'm like, what? People are actually listening?
Yeah.
So
I know. It's always a pleasant surprise when you're like, oh, somebody actually tuned in this week.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I'm the opposite. I'm like, everybody should be listening. Like, oh, you didn't listen sooner? Because you should be.
So, I want to I need to adopt that attitude, but it's like,
I know. So do I. Yeah. I like consider Maggie like the yin to my yang, because I'm like, oh, maybe three people will listen, and she's like, hundreds of people are gonna listen this week. And so like we balance each other out.
Yeah, yeah.
Very positive.
The whole world is turning in.
Yeah.
Yes. You gotta have that. Yeah, absolutely. But on that note, I'm curious how you guys initially started bringing people to your podcast. Was it through like posting on Instagram, or just kind of like slowly snowballed? How have people come to find out about At Wit's End?
So I think from the start, it really gets down to putting the word out. Every time you're at a gathering, every time you're chatting with friends, I shamelessly plug our podcast anywhere and everywhere. And I think it gets down to then the content, right? That you want to have content that, even though we're both freelancers, for example, we actually haven't done a freelancer episode because in my mind, so many of the listeners that are those core listeners, they're not freelancers per se. And so while we are still in charge of our topics and we pick things we want to talk about, we keep in mind things that don't niche out too many people because we are so broad. We have so many interests and that really helps appeal to lots of different people. You know, it's not just like a podcast for girls, like anybody can listen, and we try to make it for everyone, which is big. And then, yeah, just lots of talking all the time. And I want to start tagging our stickers throughout the city, even yeah. if it's illegal, but I feel like it's the
yeah,
way
to go. We've talked about that, getting like QR code stickers or even just like QR business codes, business cards that you could like leave in, you know, like cafes and things like that, just to like get people to be like, oh, what's this? And maybe listen. Cause I definitely think, yeah, with the biggest draw for us has been just like our own personal networks and people kind of like expanding through there. Or like, I think a few people have come in through guests, and like a lot of our guests have been like personal friends or connections that we just like have that we've been able to kind of take advantage of. But like Maggie said, it's actually been really interesting to see how almost evenly split our demographic is in terms of like male female, because for a chatty podcast they tend to, I think, be more female focused in terms of the audience. And it's been surprising to see how even that split has been between like a lot of guys listening too. And so like, where you're conscious of that when we're picking topics as well, that like, how can we make this something that everyone can relate to versus picking, you know, topics. Even when we talk about, like, we did an episode recently on like online dating, and we took feedback from guys and girls when we were like responding, and it wasn't just like dating advice from a girl's perspective or like from a female perspective, but kind of making that a more universal discussion of the topic, which I think helps to not isolate people and kind of keeps those like everyone coming back.
And actually, a point off that too, because it's a conversational style, I think from the beginning we always wanted it to feel like you were with us. And you were just in the room with us, and you know, when you're driving or you're cleaning, we're there too. And you would never name drop, or you kind of cater your conversations in real life, or hopefully so that everybody feels like they can be a part of it and that they can relate to it. And that's an extension of that into the podcast, is using these topics, things that we're interested in a way that's relevant and interesting and fun for everyone, without saying you can't listen to us because you're not gonna like it.
Yeah, it's like lines. Making it like ambiguous enough that like it's like we said before, like not dropping those inside jokes, but also like I had someone recently be like, oh, like when were you in Waterloo recording the podcast with Maggie? And I was like, oh, like we don't record together, like I don't even see her when we're recording. I'm usually like sitting on my bedroom floor. And they were like so shocked that they were like, I can't even believe you're not even like looking at each other when you're talking, because it doesn't feel that way. And like we are imagining, but like we really like strive, I think, to create that kind of dynamic that it's nice to know that what people are picturing is that we are together and it is just like us hanging out, because it, like, as much as we are not physically able to do that, that's what we're like emotionally striving for with what we create.
Yeah, I feel like that's the ultimate goal anyways, like to make people feel like we're all in the same room, like you two are in the same room, they're there too, we're all just chatting, especially if a conversational style one. But that's really cool to hear how much you guys draw on your audience for everything, because I feel like that's a very underrated way to grow a show and just also just keep the listeners that you already have, instead of just trying to focus on like, let's get more people in, but making the other people that are already there stick around. Yeah, definitely good to like look in your analytics and see like where people are coming from, what their own psychographics, demographics are. I don't think they have psychographics. That'd be crazy. But
what's included in psychographics? Because Anchor provides us with pretty in-depth analytics. Mm-hmm. So we do know a lot. More than I thought. And now I'm thinking about every podcast I listen to and I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know what I feel like it would be like people's like hopes and dreams. They probably don't have that. No. But if you can get everything else, you're good.
Yeah. It would be interesting. I'd be so curious to see like if there was, I wish there was stats on like listeners that listen to you also listen to these podcasts, because it would all, it would where be cool to be able. Yeah. Yeah. Like, where do we get grouped? And also like, how can we, I would love to like chat with the podcasts that are also drawing in the same people that listen to us, because I just think that that would be really interesting to see like what they're talking about and kind of collaborate with them. So like if Anchor's listening, I would love those stats if they could provide those to me.
Help us out, guys.
Yeah. Oh my God. I hope Anchor listens to my podcast. but on that note, what do you think is necessary to get started podcasting? Because I know for myself, that was kind of a big barrier, was like, I need like a recording studio or like a $300 mic or something. But what did you guys get started with, and what would you recommend starting with in hindsight, whether or not those are different?
So, I mean, you need a decent microphone. I think that makes your job significantly easier when it comes to editing. And you can get one on Amazon. They're not very expensive. Yeah. You can get a
mine was like plug-in. $50.
Yeah. And so I have a more professional microphone, but that's, I was using it for something else, which ended up working great. And the other thing is just like a quiet space, and sometimes that prep work is important. And then an interface is great, but that gets into something a little more technical. I think at a base, you need a microphone, headphones, a quiet room, and then something to edit your podcast on. And then going back to Anchor, that distributing platform, you can do it yourself. It takes a lot of time. And so it's just easier to upload, get it out there. And that's from like an equipment point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think like the prep work is really just about like knowing what you want to talk about. And the framework really like saves us from like the first time we ever tried to record the like infamous episode that never saw the light of day. We really just went with, oh, we're going to like converse chat with each other. So let's just like sit down and chat. And it was like, this was all over the place. Like, it really didn't follow any topic or like rhyme or reason. And we were like, this is not the experience that we're like trying to create for people. So now having the selected topic, you know, we plan out, we try and space out similar topics. Like, we've done like an episode on slow living, but also an episode on like morning routines. And like, there can be a little bit of overlap with things like that. So we try and space out so that at least once a season we're doing those kind of topics without it being something that's like, oh, they've been talking about this for the last month. Even if that's what's on our minds, we try and space that out. So I think just like having
forethought, or like having the episodes where we ask our audience to send in either questions or responses, guests, and we'll plan it out so that you have a little bit of variety as you listen, and then we take it from there. Yeah.
And I think honestly, something that I think, even though we prepped when we first started for the sake of Maggie's pregnancy and like wanting that time off, I would suggest to anybody who's starting to get like 3 episodes in your back pocket before you start actually sending them out, just because if you're trying to create, and a lot of what I've read and researched on just like what helps a podcast to grow is like the consistent deployment date of your podcast episode, like having it come out the same date and time and have people be able to expect it, is huge. And so if you feel like there might be some bumps in the roads when you're first getting started, having, you know, a few in the bank so that you have that kind of like buffer to, you know, maybe you accidentally delete one, or like you decide you want to, you know, re-record something, you have that, you give yourself that space without it holding you back or you know, screwing up your routine.
Yeah, I can see that. That's why I honestly switched to seasonal myself, because like I said earlier, I was doing weekly and it started to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm just like not ahead of it enough. Yeah. But I really like seasonal stuff, because all of a sudden it's like, oh wow, I don't have to be thinking like, all right, every week for the rest of my life for the next 3 years I have to think of something to say, because I hate that so much when it comes to creating content, because there's so much already out there, and like the thought of putting stuff out there just to put it out there too is like, oh my god, why would I add, it's like a giant landfill, and you're like, let me just throw something on top of here, but like not even excited about it. That was something that I noticed, and I wanted to switch to seasonal style podcasting. Is that similar to why you guys switched to seasons, or was there another reason?
I think initially we wanted it. I mean, we've stuck to a pretty consistent, like, every 2 weeks routine. And the seasonal switch, I think the kind of executive decision to do that came at Christmas time last year, just because we were like, we want a break. Like, we're taking time off of work. Everybody's busy. Like, you know, people are going to be listening less. They're not commuting. They're not, you know, in their normal routines. Yeah. So let's kind of finish for the year and start fresh in the new year. And that was kind of our, you know, we're finishing with our season one, and we're going to start in January with our season two. And we've kind of stuck with that. And I think also just generally we like to follow kind of like the flow of the year. And even our topics really reflect, like, in the spring, you know, everyone has that kind of like, oh, it's a fresh start. So maybe we're talking about, like, you know, getting out of creative ruts and like things like that. And we really like time our topics a little bit with the time of year. So it kind of makes sense to kind of have that natural end as the year ends. And then we can kind of pick up again in the new year.
Yeah, I really like that. I feel like that's cool to kind of follow the natural flow of the year too, because you are right. Like, December, especially the last half, just feels like a time to rest.
Yeah.
And so to kind of take that pressure off yourself, you're like, and then you can come back better for the next season too. And that's what I've noticed. Like, I can record ahead of time and I can really think about each episode that's going to go into it, because I have this kind of, I don't know, maybe it's a bad habit being a freelancer, creating content as marketing, but if I know I got to put something out every week or every other day for so long, I just start, like, my vision starts getting blurred. I'm like, oh my God, this is my life. Like, it just feels so trapping.
Yeah.
So 100%.
Yeah. I especially with freelancing, I find that when you've got to, like, put business content out, I start every new year being like, I'm going to be so on it. And you can watch my socials go so consistent until March. And then I posted an out of office notice in March of this year, and I didn't show up again until June. And it was only supposed to be a weekend off. And then I was like, people just think I disappeared, because I could not keep up with the rate that I was trying to keep up with anymore. And so I think being a little bit more just lax with yourself helps you to actually show up more consistently, even if that is only once a month instead of, you know, three times a week or whatever it is that you're trying to put pressure on. Like, showing up some degree is still better than not showing up at all.
Yeah. I'm always like, good for people who can post consistently. I'm like, maybe you're not human fully, because when I get super busy, the less I post on my own socials, the busier I am with projects. And it's also why I take a lot more project-based work rather than, I keep my retainers down, because of I also kind of detest that, you know, when you have a social, I'm not in social media management anymore, because I was like, what do you mean I have to post a story six times a month for the next forever? And so I moved into like content creation more, because here, you guys do what you want with it. This is ready. This will all look good in a feed, and I don't have to deal with that consistent. And it's a little, you know, project. It's on my time, even though I'm very fast, but it's still I get to decide, which is a lot nicer than when you're stuck in something, which is what a podcast should be, right? It's free and loosey-goosey as you want it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I can attest to that too, because I also started out as a social media manager. And sometimes I miss it because of the consistency. Like, when you're like having a slow month and it's all project based, you're like, damn, maybe those retainers weren't so bad.
Yeah, keep like one or two.
The worst case. yeah. But in that time, I was like, oh my God, this is like just starting a new job or something. It's like forever content. And like, there's so much that gets pulled into social media management. It sounds like you both have done a really good job of like picking out what you liked from there and like building out your own niche, because I feel like it's a really great place to start. And then you're like, okay, I actually just want to write, or I actually just want to do content creation or branding.
Yeah. Imagine somebody who does community management or enjoys that, because that
That was the first thing that I wrote out of most of my social media management contracts, is like, you find somebody else to like manage the comments and stuff. Yeah. I am totally fine to be the one creating and deploying the content, but I want out of the like nitty gritty of doing it. I can't even do it on my own socials. And like, I think that, yeah, it's definitely with freelancing, it's striking a balance. Like I'm still very much in social media management, but I'm super selective about the projects and the types of clients I take on. And I was in like e-commerce brands for a really long time, and it was just a hamster wheel. And you can't get off of it because it is, socials and sales are so closely tied for those companies. And so like, I've kind of been slowly making that transition out of that space and into, you know, industries that are a little bit more free flowing with their social content. And I find that that's like a much happier place for me to be mentally.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you at all. We've all been through that kind of social media management battle, and it can be a really cool field, but yeah, you got to pick out what you like. But I think that's the nature of freelancing in general. Like no matter what niche you choose, like you're probably going to start niching until you're like, all right, this is what I actually want to do.
Specifically do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But back to podcasting for our last question, I would love to know from each of you, what is one piece of advice you'd give to someone wanting to start a podcast?
I mean, I would say just like start. I think for me, that was the most like daunting thing when we first, you know, more seriously started talking about starting. It was just like this pressure to be perfect right off the bat. And I remember recording our first episode and being like, you know, I'm sticking to this script. I like want to make sure it's like, I say exactly what I want to say. I was worried about saying the wrong thing. And I think when you do that, you run the risk of overthinking it. It's like good to think things through and like be critical about what it is that you're sharing, but don't go too far the other way where you're like paralyzed by that. And like, I'm reading Jay Shetty's book right now, Think Like a Monk, which like, I don't know if either of you have read, but I'm sure you've seen it before because it was everywhere for the past couple of years. And he has a really amazing podcast too. But there was one chapter and he was talking about how when he first started giving his talks, he like nobody showed up to his first talk. So he gave it to an empty room, but he gave it anyways. And then the next time he gave the same talk, like a few people showed up, and he's kind of used that same logic when he started his YouTube channel and when he started his podcast. It's like, just start and share what you think is important to be shared and trust that like the rest of it's going to fall into place and the right people are going to find you. And if you believe in what it is that you're sharing, then just like focus on enjoying it and connecting with the right people will come naturally, I think. So I really liked his insights on that. And I feel like it really applies to how we've approached this podcast, was like, is anybody going to listen? Like, we didn't know when we first started. And like, we've been pleasantly surprised by how many people have come back week after week. But we started with no impression of like how many people were going to show up when we put out that first episode. And it was more just about, does this make us happy? And I really try and think about our podcast from the perspective of, if nobody listens, I'm grateful that 10 years from now, we have these conversations recorded and they'll be funny to look back on. And this is as much for us as it is for other people. And that really helps to stay motivated to it and not get so caught in the weeds of overthinking it.
Yeah, I think even going off that, like mine is very similar, but in like a slightly different realm. I think that starting a podcast is super appealing to a lot of people. You think you have this idea and you know, you love the idea of chatting and sharing and stuff, but the discipline is not. And there is discipline that goes into it. And there is a fine line between, you know, doing something that you love, and there's a discipline to it. Sometimes you don't want to, but you enjoy it. It's almost like going to the gym. Is anybody like, ah, I can't wait to go to the gym? Not really, but it's good for you and you feel better after. And when you add things into your life that, you know, you schedule and you plan, and I think that's where the planning aspect comes in. So my one piece of advice is to plan in the sense, plan how you need to plan. So if that's just general topics that over the next 2 months, I'd like to touch upon this, I'd like to touch upon that, and to always have maybe a note open on your phone where as inspiration hits you, it's there. And that's half the battle, I think. And then Isabel, going back to what you said about the realistic schedules, I think that is huge, is start with less, maybe start once a month, see how it goes. And then if you can amp up to once a week, you are a superhuman, because that is just, or you have a lot of money and you cannot do anything else other than write and plan your podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great advice from both of you. I mean, the realistic schedules is huge, the planning appropriately, just there's so much that goes into podcasting that you don't necessarily think about when you're getting started. So yeah. It's really nice to hear from both of you, who I consider podcast experts because you've been in the field.
Thank you.
What you're doing. Wow. I love your show. So yeah, you guys are podcast experts. But on that note, how can everyone connect with both of you, both freelance side and also podcast side, after listening to this show?
So podcast wise, you can find us on Instagram at Wits End Podcast, and that's wit is spelled WHITS.
We're clever.
And then personally, you can find me freelance wise at Cold Tea Social on Instagram, and my personal account is at Kimberly Hutchings. And I kind of post about freelancing and podcasting and stuff on all three of those channels, so you can find me there.
Yeah, and then you can find me online at mymagzimay.com, on Instagram at magzimayco, and then personally at magzimay. So I have my own personal brand extends to everything. So magzimay is like the base, which I'm so happy with myself that in 2013 I came up with something that would work for branding later on. But yeah, so I'm magzimayco, and then I have a making, baking, gardening account that's magzimay. So that's how you connect with everything.